Blog Talk Radio.
Out there and insane people, as well as just the normal, regular, average Joes, extraordinary people, visionaries, whoever you are back with us, the two craziest hosts on the most, and inside the movies and more. My name is Calvin, the producer, here with my co-host, John, and it's another exciting episode of Inside the Movies and More. The crowd goes wild.
That was right. Awesome, Scotty. You got to round that Vietnam thing. That was so good.
Oh, yes, we're good. Yes, and I was like, oh, I changed my mind halfway through, and I was like, I don't think I'm going to go ahead and do that. I think I'm going to go ahead and do something sort of similar, but completely different.
Well, we're not going to get sued. That's the important part.
Absolutely. We are a production company all in all, and trust me, we don't need that headache. Anyways, so, hey, man, it's an exciting show here, Don. It's glad to have you on here with me once again, like always. And we got an exciting topic we're going to be talking about, and the topic is actually a person. We are actually going to be dedicating this whole show. We're actually going to be talking about the legacy of one of the greatest actor, comedians, person all around, Robin Williams, had passed away last year. Now, for some of you probably listening, going, ooh, that may be hitting a soft spot, but we're going to really highlight this man's legacy in all aspects of cinema, stand-up, TV. I know for Don and I, he's one of the greats. And for many of you that are listening, he is one of the greats as well. And it was very tragic, sad day. It took me a while to get, I'm still dealing with him, loss of a true, true, amazing, talented performer that he was.
Well, I think that you have to, at some point, you have to let it go, it's obviously it's a tragedy that we don't have this artist with us anymore, but at some point, you have to make that switch from lamenting his loss or our loss of him and lamenting his departure. You do have to make that switch at some point to, look, I don't care how he lost his life. Look back at what all that he gave us. There's no artist that's required to give us an amount of art. And I think that's a big thing. I think that a lot of people don't realize is that, we hound these actors and directors and writers and everything, and we think that they belong to us, and they don't belong to us. And Robin was so gracious in everything that he gave us. And I think that, there's that whole idea of too soon, yet there's no time that's too soon when it comes to Robin. He gave us so much. And I think that, like you, Scotty, I think that maybe now is a time to, as we're approaching a new year, let's celebrate everything that this man left us.
Absolutely. So we're going to kick it off here. And now, for those that are listening and, you want to be a part of this show and maybe talk about his legacy. Now, this is a show that we're going to talk about the joy and the things about Robin. You can give us a call in at 646-721-9678. Once again, that number is 646-721-9678. So we're going to dive right into this right away here. And I know you had some interesting facts for us, Don, about Robin and some of his performances.
Well, absolutely. I mean, we can talk about his films all day long. And I think that what I would like to do with you here in just a second is if we can give our top five performances or top five films that he did. But I would like to, you know, before Robin was Mork, you know, before he was Popeye, before he was anybody, he was a stand-up comedian. And there is this great story that David Letterman told when right after Robin passed. And David Letterman told this. He went on a couple of a days break because he really couldn't deal. But when he came back on the show, he said that, you know, they were working. They worked this is back in the 70s, and they worked the same circuit. I think this was probably the Comedy Store out in L.A. And Dave and his other old buddies there. You know, they kind of had this whole, this new guy thing, you know, they were a little snobby, you know, about somebody coming up new. And so this new kid gets introduced, and he's Robin Williams, and he's from Scotland. That's how they announce it. Straight from Scotland, here comes Robin Williams. And so Letterman looks to his comedy buddies, and he's like, oh, this is going to be crap. You know, this guy's going to get up here and he's going to tell, you know, 15-minute jokes about haggis and whatnot. And Robin gets up there, and he does his Scottish accent thing for about 90 seconds, and then just unloads and just becomes Robin Williams. And when he walked off the stage, Dave Letterman looks over at his friends, and he's like, oh, well, this guy's just changed everything. This is completely different. He's completely changed everything. And there's, you know, in terms of stage, one thing that's really incredible about Robin and what he did on stage as a comedian is his movement. You know, before Robin Williams, we can call it PRW, pre-Robin Williams. Before that, your comedians would stand in front of a microphone, and they'd stand there and they'd say their jokes. Robin Williams came on the stage. He was all over the place, and there was no stage big enough for him. So he was all over the place. And what he was doing, people don't realize this, but he was getting into people's psyche and really messing with their minds. And that what he would do is he would walk over here and tell a little bit of a joke, walk over here and tell a little bit of a joke, walk over here and tell a little bit of a joke, and then he would always hit this one spot to hit his punchline, which nobody had ever seen that before. And I think he was like rocking that whole mechanism for a long time before people realized that what he was doing is he was anchoring people to where when he came to the punchline spot, that spot on the stage, people were laughing. It didn't even matter what the punchline was. They didn't even care. They were laughing because he got to that spot. So the way that he worked with people's brains, it was so incredible. And I think we saw a lot of that as he started to develop into stage and screen as well.
And that is, I mean, he, you know, there you have now for, let me go ahead, before I go to a moment, a pause here. For myself, one of my biggest philosophies is laughter is the best medicine.
Yeah.
And Robin did a movie that I know that's probably, we're going to talk about here, and it's a movie of the top fives. But he really lived by that motto, and he really lived by bringing joy. And I read stuff here where he would meet his friends, or he'd be around people, and he was a big advocate of going to the hospitals with sick kids, and really, really dealing and bringing him laughter in a way that was no other person can bring it. As well as going over to the troops and making the troops laugh in these rough times, and that's something here that is truly amazing to see his humanitarian work and bringing that laughter around the world. And it's the honestly, I truly believe because how well he was when it came to his audience, you know, wars would stop to let this man perform. And that's the thing here is he definitely will leave a legacy forever and ever. And it's one of those things that as a as someone in the as was you and I are in the industry, and we know people, laughter will resonate and move forward in so much way than it's such a dramatic drama. People will go
yeah.
see it, will jump to the theater to be entertained with laughter and joy more than seeing someone get their head chopped off in a horror movie. You know, and that's something that, at the same token, Robin also brung a dramatic side, an inspirational side, will have you weeping from his performance in cinema, as well as making you fall on the flat floor, laughing so hard you're holding your sides about to pee yourself. He had such a dynamic and a different range that he can bring to both sides of cinema was amazing.
Well, I think that's also a big part of his enigmatic legacy that he left behind, was that a lot of people would go to see a movie because Robin Williams was in it, whether it was, you know, Birdcage or Mrs. Doubtfire or whatever. They would come to that because they know that this guy's gonna churn out the laughs. And like you said, I mean, people don't go to the cinema to cry. They go to the cinema to be entertained and to laugh. And then what would end up happening is they would get gobsmacked because he was such an amazing dramatic actor that people didn't expect it, and they get slapped in the face by this amazing dramatic performance to where, look, you came to see Robin. Here's the essence of Robin Williams, is you go to see Robin Williams because you know that you're going to laugh, and you had no idea that he was going to make you cry.
Good phrase there. It's the truth. So let's dive in, Don. Let's dive in with the top five.
All right, let's have yours first, buddy.
Well, you know, it's always a challenge.
Do we want to? First of all, do we want to go from five to one or one to five? Let's go from five to one.
Let's go to five to one.
I'm sure we're
going to
have a little crossover here, but let's go with your five to one.
Well, hopefully, we probably have crossover. Hopefully not, because he did so many movies. I mean,
yeah.
Robin is what can we say? So let's dive in. So let's go here with number five for me. Has to be. It's gonna have to. Oh, it's such a toughie.
There's so many. It's crazy.
My top five will be Hook. And for all those that don't know Hook, it's usually on Netflix. Check it out. It is the story after Peter Pan. What happens if Peter Pan grows up and has kids?
Yeah.
Great all-star cast in it. Phenomenal cinematography. Everything's great about it. Of course, Robin brung Peter Pan to life in a way that we'd never seen him come to life as an adult. And there's no one else better to play Peter Pan as an adult but Robin Williams. As well. Now, not to mention his co-stars in that film, because he really was the main focal point of the film. Of course, his co-stars were Dustin Hoffman playing Hook, and to this day, there's nobody else that can play Captain Hook better than Dustin Hoffman, but that's Dustin
yeah.
Hoffman at a different time. Anyways,
yeah.
Then I'm going to have to go with number four. I'm going to have to go with Lee Daniels, the butler, him playing the president in there was amazing, phenomenal.
Played Dwight D. Eisenhower, and that was one of his last.
Very recent, absolutely, absolutely. And that's something here, like we were talking about, he can make you cry and pull his emotion strength as well. That was one of them as well. My other one is going to have to be once him playing a president again. I loved him in all the Night of the Museum, that franchise. I loved him as Teddy Theodore Roosevelt.
Yeah.
One thing about Robin, I got to jump in here real quick before you go. One thing is when Robin became a character, he embedded himself in a character. So if he needed to be the president
right.
of whatever time frame, he would be the president. You're watching Robin Williams, but at the same token, you're watching Teddy Roosevelt. You're watching Eisenhower. You want to see him become a British woman? My knife. And that's going to bring me to number, I think we're at three. Number three, Mrs. Doubtfire.
Yeah. Well, we don't have to worry about numbers, but yeah, number three, Mrs. Doubtfire.
Mrs. Doubtfire. And it's the sad thing here is he was actually working on Mrs. Doubtfire, too, before he passed.
Wow.
And that's that here is something that I wish we could have saw, but, you know, it is what it is. So,
hey, I hate to interrupt, Scott, but let me tell you, that there was that scene, and I think it was like a 10-minute scene, and it was brilliantly shot. But that scene where he is going back and forth as Robin, and I think it was when he had like his child security people coming along, to where he was going back and forth between being Mrs. Doubtfire and then being the dad, and where he was like he would jump back into the dressing room and he was switching back and forth and everything else. That was some of the most amazing character acting. In existence. It was incredible.
Yes. Yes. Robin, he's just he's who he is. Let's see. Number two, Bicentennial Man. Made you believe
you like that
he
much?
Was a
yeah.
robot. Yeah. And his journey from being a robot to trying to be a human. Oh, fantastic. Then I'm going to have to go.
Well, let me give you a. Here, I don't know if I can do this on the phone. Let's do a drum roll. Number one.
Number one, I'm going to have to say here would be. I know we're going to cross over this one. We're both going to say it. It's going to have to probably be Good Will Hunting.
Nice. Yeah.
I know we were trying to cross over, but that one is number one. The Oscar winning one for him was such a dramatic piece was but like I said, the list goes on. I mean, you can talk about Birdcage, you can talk about so many different it's just nonstop. I mean, the man can definitely put on a character. Now, here's a funny fact if you don't know this. In Birdcage, we know he played alternative lifestyle person. But his butler maid, in the film, you know what the last film they did together? Night at the Museum 2.
Oh, wow.
Yep. The butler maid, I'm forgetting his name, he played the Common Raw. Pharaoh. And then Robin played Theodore Roosevelt.
Well, that's interesting. That's a new twist.
Very interesting. Interesting. So wanted to just throw that out there. But it's your turn, Don. Let us rip the top five.
Well, I can't. You know, you and I have a lot of the same sensibilities when it comes to film, and I'm surprised that there's not more crossover than there is, but like my number five would be Popeye, and just because it was I mean, that was the first time I really saw like on film really capturing a cartoon, so I really liked that. And that was also the first time that, like, you know, unless you're familiar with Mork and Mindy, the first time we really got access to Robin Williams' talent. So I love Popeye in that respect. Number four, would probably I go back and forth. I would probably say number four. I would probably put Patch Adams in there. And here's the thing: is that, you know, I don't consider myself a sissy, but I also don't consider myself a very manly man. But if a movie can make me cry, if a movie can make me drop a tear, then they're doing something right in my idea. You know, and the top four that I have easily made me drop a tear here. And Patch Adams was just a great message, you know, and you and I have talked about this before, but the message of laughter being the best medicine. Number three, I really love Dreams May Come. And I thought that was the first time where we saw cinema, the level of cinematography and the level of screenwriting and the level of his other actors actually being at the same level that he was in terms of his talent. So I really loved that. And I mean, obviously that was a very touchy subject. You know, it was very existential and very beautiful. And then from there, Good Will Hunting. You know, I know that you put that as your number one. That's easily going to be my number two. when it comes to, like I was saying before, to, you know, to being tearful, that I still think back on that scene with him and Matt Damon, that It's Not Your Fault scene. And I'm just getting choked up right now thinking about it. He did such an amazing job with that. But number one for me is easily Dead Poets Society, which, you know, that's my number one in Robin Williams films. It's in my top three of all favorite films. You know, and, we all know this, that when it comes to films, you know, where you are in your life when you see a certain film, that has a lot to do with how you take it in. And that movie came out in, I think, 1989, so it would have been like 13. But the whole idea of Seize the Day and Carpe Diem and everything else, it was just amazing. And that man has made me cry so many times. It's so funny because I, you know, like I said earlier, you know, I went back and watched his last stand-up comedy performance today, and just laughed my butt off for an hour and a half. But if I look back at it, it's funny because I don't think I can ever come up with a guy that's made me laugh so hard and then also made me cry so much too, and just has taken such hold on my emotions on both ends. And so Dead Poets Society, again, one of my favorite movies of all time. But yeah, that's going to be my top one when it comes to Robin's films.
You know what? I'm going to have to take back my top five.
You're going to move your list? Uh-oh.
I'm going to move my list.
Okay, you can do that. That's allowed. There's no rules
here. It's one of my favorites. I mean, it really is one of my favorites. And being one of my favorites here, it was truly showed a light of Robin when it came to him being a. Excuse me, here one second here. I just got a new puppy, and my puppy is being retarded right now, and he's on a strict schedule when it comes to food. I know this is random, we're on time, we're crunch here, but he's getting into my other dog's food, and I don't want to have the Hershey squirts all over my carpet. So, back on the Robin Williams topic here, it's going to have to be Good Will Hunting up there, but I'm going to have to say Good Morning Vietnam.
Oh, how did we forget that one? We didn't forget
it.
There's just so many.
Yes. That will be my number one is Good Morning Vietnam. Because you watch that movie and they really shine the light on Vietnam, but also showed how Robin, how he does even in his, not even in his cinema career or anything, but what he does in real life as a humanitarian, going there and performing for the troops. And making him laugh.
I think that's a great point to make, and that was a big part of what he did. And he did that without, you know, he did that as a volunteer. And the thing is that if you look at, I think that Scotty, if you look at the movies that we've talked about, you know, that we've put in our top five or whatever, I think that the thing that it comes down to is that we chose those. I mean, there's a huge canon to choose from, but we chose those because they each of those films had a message and had a meaning. And those films, you know, they were written and directed that way to have a message and a meaning. But when you look at, like, you know, the message of Dead Poets Society is Carpe Diem, it seize the day. The message of Good Morning Vietnam is you know, troop support. You know, the message of Patch Adams is that laughter is the best medicine. I can go on all night on this, but the thing is, you look at these films that he did, and there's always a really strong message, and that message is already there. But the fact that you had such a great performer that could convey that message and get that message across, I think that's why he was so incredible on film. And you know, he was incredible on stage and everything else, incredible in person. But I mean, there would be a twinkle in his eyes that he could just make a scene sizzle exactly when he needed to. And what ends up happening from those films, and like you mentioned, like Bicentennial Man, which a lot of people don't talk about, you know, there's a message behind every film that he put out. And, you know, you want to say that the filmmaker is responsible for putting that message across, or the screenwriter, or the cinematographer, but when it came down to it, those messages, they were delivered by the guy right there in front of the lens.
Absolutely, absolutely. And the thing is with him is that he when they wrote these, and that's something we talked about before, when about writing a script. You know, when they would write a script, the script, they would have someone in mind, but they knew that, okay, if we can't get this person, there's other people that can possibly bring it together. But when it came, I think when it really came down to when having Robin Williams in a movie, and they're writing the script, just like Michael J. Fox, how it fits so well with Back to the Future, that you have to go ahead here, and with Robin, was those scripts are made for Robin. There's no one else that could do those movies. Only Robin could. And that was the right thing about the whole thing, was he brung 110% in a way that was so amazing and so magnificent.
No, nobody else could do it like he did.
No. Nobody.
Nobody else could do any of those roles.
And, you know, it's one of those things that, man, and the great thing is Robin gets to live with us forever. Even though his physical body is no longer with us on here, and he's not performing new stuff, but he's continually performing the same stuff over and over again that we enjoy. We can pop on Patch Adams, we can pop on Bicentennial Man, we can pop on Night at Museum, we can pop on When Dreams They Come, and there he is, Robin in the flesh, doing what he is.
You know what?
I can't, Scotty.
I can't believe we didn't talk about this. It just blew right by both of us. But what about Aladdin?
His work as the genie.
That's his resume on film right there. Aladdin.
Voice acting work. See, that's the thing. A lot of people, Robin was so rounded. I mean, Robin brought so much that you need him to be animated voice. Robin's got it. You want him to be you know, Happy Feet. You want him to play a crazy, smooth talking penguin. You got it. You want him to be a genie that can sing and dance and, you know, grant your wishes? You got it. I mean, you got it.
Yeah.
He was a man of so many different talents. And one thing is, I want to throw it out, we've got less than a minute left. But one thing here is, one of his closest friends say that when it was you and Robin in a room by yourself, he was so quiet. But immediately when two or more people would come into the room, he would light up as Robin Williams. It was like he was on stage, he was on performance. And that's something a lot of people have to understand in this business. You can look at someone performing, and you can be like, oh my God, that's how they have to be every single day. And when with Robin, with two or more came into the room, or greater, that was Robin. And that's one thing here with performers and artists and stuff like that. You might perceive them on the screen or you perceive them on television, and you might see them on doing you know, interviews and talk shows and stuff like that, and you go, oh, my God, that's how they are in real life. But then you meet them, and they're quiet, and they're concerned, and they're very, you know, not so exuberant. You know, that's a great, you know, that's how it is. But Robin, when you met him, he was that person that you saw on television. He was that person. He was always on.
Yeah.
And that is something that was great, and that's something that not so many people will get to see people like that. Now, there are some people that are always on. Some people that always have full of energy and everything like that, but not the way a Robin did it. Like, when you met Robin Williams, and these were people, you're like, oh, my goodness, this is him. You're getting a free, you're getting a show right in front of you. And that's something here that, you know, rest in peace, Robin. You know, your legacy will live on in all our hearts and all our prayers. And teaching, and one thing I say, if any of those actors that are listening, study his performance. Study what he did. You know, he gave you if you look at his performances, he gave you a blueprint. You know, and that's one thing here is, as well as, you don't have to mimic Robin Williams. No, because there'll never be a Robin Williams. There's only one. But for people that are in this industry, study the greats. Study what they did. Study the techniques. And I promise
you know, whether it was on the stand-up stage or whether it was on a TV sound studio with Mork and Mindy or whether it was on a film set, Robin, he left everything that he had out there on the stage.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, here's for Robin Williams fans. If you if you don't know this one, here's a really nice little idea. Go check out Cadillac Man. That's a great movie. him and Tim Robbins. There's so many films that he did. Yeah. Well, I mean, we didn't even talk about like One Hour Photo and some of the other stuff.
Oh, man, no.
What a legacy. Amazing.
Yep. So this one, Inside the Movies and More, was a tribute to Robin Williams. And, you know, we're going to start bringing different things and different topics here. We're also going to be peeling back the pages. And we're actually going to peel back the lens, per se, of cinema. And we're going to get deep and we're actually going to go past the audio. We're going to rewind back time. And in the next few episodes here, we don't know exactly what episode yet, but I know it'll be this year. We're going to start digging into one of my favorites, one of my all-time favorites. And believe it or not, I believe it was also Robin Williams, one of his favorites, actors of all times. He was the pioneer of comedy. He was one of the pioneers of the... we're going to go back to when there was only words on a screen and music playing in the background when the motion picture came on. We're going to talk about one of the greats, Charlie Chaplin. And Charlie Chaplin lived by a legacy. He lived a thing about laughter as well. That if you didn't laugh each day, it was a wasteful day. And that's something I lived by for the rest of my life. And pretty much Charlie was saying here, I'm just giving a little snippet, was don't take life too serious. Laugh every day. You'll get and I'm telling you from what I've lived by that code, it has been the most amazing words I've lived by and stood by. And one thing I share with you is, and why I'm also bringing this up here, is laughter, period, truly is the best medicine. And Robin really brought that to the screen and brought it to all of our hearts. So, if you're at the movies, check out Night of the Museum 3. It's a great film. And see Robin on the big screen for a time last. As well as if you're home, check out Netflix, type in Robin Williams in the search bar. There's going to be movies of him in there. And for those out there that are Robin Williams fans, if your library of DVDs, dust off some old Robin movies and plug them in the VCR or DVD player or watch it digitally on your phone.
Which, by
the
way, also too, Scott, if you have those out there that have Amazon Prime, you can watch the right now his final stand-up special, The Weapons of Self-Destruction. It's free on Amazon Prime right now.
Absolutely. Now, for all those out there, for all the kids listening, that is for a mature audience. Okay?
Yes.
So, all right. So, just putting that out there, that's not Aladdin and Genie, ladies.
It's not
girls.
Aladdin. No.
So, for moms and dads out there, please don't have your kids. I don't want you sending us hate mail saying, you don't tell my kids to go watch it. And Robin,
yeah,
be crazy and foul. Yes, Robin, even though he did a lot of great films, he also had a different side of him, too. And that did come, that came out in some of his movies as well.
It's a great stand-up act, but it's for mom and dad, absolutely.
Yeah. So, if your kids want to watch some stand-up, watch some Billy Crystal. So Jeff Foxworthy. So other than that, guys, once again, this is Inside the Movies and More. Any final thoughts, Don, on Robin that you want to share with the audience before we wrap up this episode?
No final thoughts. I just, I would say that that if you really want to grasp the essence of what Robin did, then one of the best things you can check out is my number one of his five is Dead Poets Society. Incredible book. Or incredible film based on a lot of some great literary backings. So, yeah, go check out Dead Poets Society if you haven't seen it.
And my pick for those out there, we go more with the family side. For those that want to sit down with the family and watch a great Robin Williams film, there's a plethora out there. Like I said earlier, Night at the Museum 3 is a great family film. Actually, all of Night at the Museums. If you haven't seen them, check them out with Ben Stiller, of course, starring also Robin Williams. Catch 1 and 2. Of course, they have it on television running 1 and 2, and of course, 3 is in theaters right now. So, once again, guys, you guys have an amazing, amazing rest of your weekend, as well as the rest of your week coming up here. Not to mention, don't miss on Mondays. We have Enlighten, of course, Two Men in the Sports Show on the Vism Radio Network, and Tuesday. That's right, Tuesday, Charlie Crime Buster is back on the air, bringing you some awesome hot tips on crime prevention. Also, we'll hear about some dumb criminals that happened, as well as some other exciting guests we'll have on the show. And if you missed earlier today, Don had his show on, Biblio Circus Cast, and he had a special guest on. Who was that special guest, Don?
That was Jennifer McBerry, who's a published author. You know, the cool thing is the Vism Radio Network right now, Vism Studios Radio Network is we've got a really nice suite of shows, and the best thing to do is just go to vismstudios.com, and there's I believe, Scotty, they can just click on Our Projects.
That's
and
right.
And then all of the we have as of now six different, pretty much anything, whether it's sports, whether it's films, whether it's books, crime prevention, you know, safety for your family, things of that nature, it's all right there. There's also a great spiritual enlightenment show on there. So I think that's kind of the way to go. Now also these all the shows are available on, I believe we're all on Stitcher and iTunes as well.
That's correct. It's your iTunes.
So whatever is the easiest way, we're easy to find. We've got a great suite of shows out there. So but I think the greatest hub is just kind of go to vismstudios.com, click on Our Projects, and you can see the whole suite of shows that we've got going on. And there's a lot of new stuff coming up too. So yeah.
A lot of new stuff, guys. A lot of new stuff. We got so much stuff on the plate for 2015. It's pretty exciting. Now, you're going to go on Vism Studios. You're going to go, does Vism Studios do radio? We actually do a lot more things. We're a full multimedia company. And we have a film we're actually be shooting January 24th. So check that out here called Silo Words. It's a nice inspirational piece that we'll be bringing to you guys here shortly for your enjoyment, as well as many other projects and films for 2015. We've got a nice little stack list here for you guys to enjoy. And pretty much we thank you guys for all your support and listening to our shows. These shows wouldn't be around if it wasn't for you guys listening. So share with your friends. And once again, thank you guys for listening to Inside the Movies and More. We'll be back on the air next Saturday. Same bat time, same bat channel. I can't use that word. Sorry, it's copywritten. Sorry, we'll change that out.
Let me go back on that one. It's fine.
Yeah, we'll edit that one later. Anyways, guys, you guys have an amazing, amazing rest of your time here. Speaking of that time, that was actually, I want to give props to, that was from Batman 1960s TV show with Adam West and Burt Ward. We'll actually talk about them here and use that quote again. So you guys have an amazing rest of your time, like I said earlier, and thank you for listening to Inside the Movies and More. Bye-bye now, everyone.